This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
Anyway, we're in a series. We've been called Battle Ready. We're in installment like number 6 today, where we've been looking at, you know, how do we withstand spiritual attack? And I've said this every week. We don't always like to talk about spiritual attacks because it kind of makes us go, oh, that's kind of weird. But the reality is the Bible is very clear that as followers of God, you're going to come under spiritual attack. There's times that the enemy is going to come after you. And so how do we prepare ourselves and how to be ready for that? And I hope you've been learning a lot. If you've been here, you haven't been here, you can always go back and watch, catch up on the series through YouTube or through our Facebook page and share the messages. But we've been looking in the book of Ephesians where there's this guy named Paul, this apostle who is the founder, an early founder of the church. And he's writing this letter and he's not just writing it from his home desk, but he's actually in prison writing this letter. And while he's there, he's taking this moment in prison, in the middle of this difficult time of his life, and he's saying, hey, I'm going to write this encouraging letter to the church. And I really thought about, this is amazing how important this is to us, because this same letter, this same time of his life is still being evaluated and talked about and preached about and applicable to our lives 2,000 years later. And I think that just really gives you and me a really important lesson that here's the thing for you today. Your darkest days can be some of your most beneficial days. The times where it just seems like life's against you, there actually could be beneficial for your life. Like he's in prison, he's writing this letter that will impact followers of Christ for centuries to come. And it might be painful. You might be in a painful moment right now. You might have gone through painful moments. You will go through painful moments. But I still believe those painful moments can be some of your most productive moments, where God can speak to you and he can use you. So don't let those dark moments of your life keep you back from making a difference in your world today. So Paul, in some of his greatest moments of ministry were when he was in prison. Some of his most incredible letters to the church is while he's in his most darkest moments. So if you feel like maybe life's been a prison for you or you're in a lot of confusion and doubt, I just say hold in there. Don't give up. It's not over for you. God's not done with you. He's got amazing things for your life. So we're looking at Ephesians chapter 6, and we're starting at verse 13, and this is what Paul writes to this church. He says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have stand your ground, and after you've done all these things, done everything to stand, he says, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So we talked about this last night. We talked about the sandals of peace that you put on, that we are to take peace with us wherever we go. We are to be not just peacekeepers, but peacemakers. And then he gives us this next piece. Look what he says. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So take up the shield of faith so that you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So today I want to talk to you about this next piece of armor. We've talked about the breastplate of righteousness. We've talked about the belt of truth. We've talked about the sandals, of the shoes of peace. But I want to talk to you about this next piece of armor, simply called the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Now, I was driving the other day. I'm sure many of you have experienced this before, but I was driving the other day, and I was happened to be behind a dump truck, and this particular dump truck was weaving throughout traffic, probably maybe going a little faster than a dump truck should be going, and on the same time, I'm probably following a little closer than I've been taught to follow, and I've been, all of a sudden, I had this thing happen that many of you have been before. You ever been there before where you're behind that truck or something, and all of a sudden, you see the rock coming off of it? Like, you see it, you know what's about to happen. It's flying through the air. Your mind's playing tricks on you. And I see this rock hit the ground and come flying up. And that thing goes in my mind, this is where it all ends. This is where it's over for me. It bounced. And as I'm watching it bounce, this flinch and tension comes over me. And it's like this split second. And then it hits my windshield, this loud clap, flies over the rest of my truck. And it was like, it was my near-death moment, right? And I'm in my mind, I'm like thinking of all the things that I regret as I'm dying. all the things that I didn't do. Like, I'm thinking to myself, who will Kim marry that's better than me, you know, once I'm gone? I'm thinking about all those things. And the same thing, it's this idea, like, it would have been over had it not been for the shield. The shield made a difference. And that's what's happening in this passage. Like, Paul is giving us this armor to withstand the attacks of the enemy that comes after your life. And he says the next thing you need to do is you need to take up this thing called the shield of faith. It's a shield of faith. This is actually what the Roman shield would have looked like in those days. Exactly like it. It looked exactly like it would have been long. It would have had like this slight curve to it. The shield that the Romans would use, like they could use something like this that they could duck behind that would protect them from the enemy, the enemy's darts, the enemy's arrows or a spear or the attack, the rocks, everything that was hurled at them. The solution to protect them was this shield. In fact, I wrote it down this way. The shield is the first line of protection against the attack of the enemy. It's the first line of protection. Like, all these other things were given to us, and they're there. They are to protect you, but this is the first line of protection against the attack of the enemy. And it's important because the shields that they used back then, they were actually made of wood, and they would take these two pieces of slender wood, and they would put them together and glue them and fasten them together. And once they would fasten together, they would take the shield and they would cover it with a cloth, with a tight fabric, and they would put it around them. And what's interesting is they didn't just take it into war, you know, this two pieces of wood with this fabric on it. But before they would ever go into battle, they would actually take the shield and they would dunk it and submerge it in water before they would ever even go into the battle. And the reason why is archaeologists had discovered that some of the arrows and some of the spears had tips that were made of a combustible material. That would, when they would light it on fire, they could shoot those at and throw them into the enemy where they would ignite and they would explode when it hit the shield. And so the solution was not only to block the shield and the flaming arrows, but to extinguish them from the enemy. Like, we need to know this today, that this is the reality for some people today. Like, you feel like your life is under fire. You feel like things are being thrown at you. You can't keep up with them. That's maybe it's something in your life. Maybe it's something in a relationship. Maybe it's something in your health. It just seems off. And there's this onslaught that seems to be coming at you. But God has given us an armor to shield ourselves, to protect us from the enemy. And Paul gives this description of what that shield is. He gives us every piece of the armor, and we're put together, and they were put together with something spiritual. You have the breastplate of righteousness. You have the belt of truth. You have these shield, these sandals that are called peace. But then he gives us the shield. And what does he say the shield is? It's simply called faith. It's the shield of faith. And faith is like kind of unique, right? Because it's one of those words, we hear it all the time in Christian circles. It's hard to preach on faith because there is 1,000 definitions for faith. There's 1,000 ideas that come behind faith. So what I want going to do today is I want to give you a biblical definition of faith. Because, and how do I give it a biblical definition? Because it's the one that's in the Bible. And the Bible gives us this simple definition. It's on one of our hoodies. You can buy one after church. Hebrews chapter 11, 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Like, faith is confidence and assurance. That is what faith is. And so today, I don't want to present to you the fact that you need faith. I don't want to present that to you because actually, you already have faith. Like, you have a lot of faith, whether you realize it or not. The problem is that many times we have faith in the wrong things. Like, you have faith in everything else in life. We have faith in the pilot that's flying our plane. We have faith in the person that's making your food, the doctor that gives you the diagnosis. You have faith driving here this morning that the person coming at you actually knows how to drive. Right? You have faith in that. But biblical faith is different than all of that. There's a word in the Bible, this is what faith, the Greek word for it is pistis, right? Which actually appears 240 times in the New Testament. And it simply has this definition. It means acting on the truth. That's what faith is, acting on the truth. In other words, it's making a decision to say, I know what truth is. It's wrapped around my waist, right? And truth is basically God's opinion on the matter. What does God say about the situation? What does God say is happening? It's going with what God says, no matter what comes my way, no matter what anyone else says. I have a shield that I can put up when the enemy attacks me, and it's called faith, which means I can act on what God says. It means I can act on what God believes. I can act on what God's opinion for myself and from others. I can act on what God says about myself. And when I do that, when I believe in what God says, it shields myself from the enemy. So I wrote this down. It's important because how many know faith is not feelings? Faith is not feelings. And we are prone to get these two confused. Like we can get this idea that faith is, well, you know what, man, I was in the room on Sunday and Pastor Samuel was just singing the right song and it moved me and I had goosebumps and the temperature, even though it's hot in here now. But you know what I mean? We get this feeling that comes over us, but that's not what faith is. And we have to be careful because if you feel your way into faith, how many know you will also feel your way out of faith? And so many of our lives are led by our emotions. We go through these ups and downs, hot, cold, you know, highs, lows. It's all about the emotion. But the Bible gives us a total different idea of faith. Because 2 Corinthians says, for we live by faith. We live by faith, not by sight. Like, it's not even about what you see, church. It's not even about what's going on around you. It's not about what you feel. I love how this guy, this theologian A.W. Tozer wrote it. He said it this way. Any faith that must be supported by the evidence of the senses is not real faith. If you have to be supported by your senses, it's not real faith. So it's not, hey, show it to me and then I'll believe it. It's not, well, let me see it and then I'll trust it. No, that's not what faith is. Faith and feeling are two different things. Because how many know feelings are always circumstantial? Like, I feel happy because of what's going on around me. I feel sad because of what's going on around me. I feel sad when I look at my bank account. Amen? I mean, with me right now, right? Come on. I feel happy because of this relationship. I feel sad because of the lack of a relationship. Like, it's always based on the circumstance. But faith is different. How many know faith is a choice? Faith is a choice. Like, one is dependent on your emotions, but the other is dependent on the choice we make despite of our emotions, despite on how you feel. Despite on how you feel, despite of what's going around you, faith is still there. And that's why Paul, I want you to get this. Paul changes the verbiage in this passage. I want you to look at this, and this is why we at CLC always encourage you, read your Bible slowly, because every single word matters. He told us, you're going to put on the belt of truth. He tells us, you know what, you're going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You're going to put on the shoes of peace. And he uses those words that I want you to get. He says, put on. And here's what put on means. Put on simply means always needed. In other words, you always need peace in your life. You always need righteousness in your life. You're always going to need to be surrounded by truth. And he tells us, you're going to put these things on. And by the way, you don't take them off. They go with you wherever you go. In other words, you don't put these things on Sunday and then take them off on Tuesday. Like, you need them every day of your life. But then he says this Paul says this, there's going to be environments that you not only need to put this thing on and keep it on, but look what he says, there's going to be other environments where you need to take up the shield of faith. Like, he uses a whole different phrase. Did you catch that? He didn't say put on the shield of faith. He said take up the shield of faith. In other words, here's what it means to take up, as needed basis. He changes the whole verbiage from put on to take up. Like, we don't live life. This is why you don't walk around. Hopefully you don't walk around life like this. Right? Like, hopefully you don't walk up and say, hey, man, let's go grab coffee. So how you doing? Everything good? How's your life? You know? We don't walk around life like that. Like, I love the new millennial Gen X word. You're like, you set boundaries for your life. All right? So just set boundaries for your life. Whatever. You know, you don't walk around with a shield over your face all the time like, well, you know, I keep everyone at a distance. That's not what God would have us do. That's not how he'd have us to live our life. Relationship would be weird that way. In the world, we are not called to be shielded from one another. But how many know there are moments where the enemy is attacking your life? There's moments where he's angry about your potential. There are moments where he is angry about your movement toward God. And guess what he's doing? He's firing at you. He's firing at you. And you need to go in the midst of those moments. You need to say, wait, this is a moment. I've got my shoes on of peace. I'm keeping them on. I've got my breastplate on of righteousness. I'm keeping it on. I've got the belt of truth wrapped around me. I'm keeping it. But this is a moment that I have a shield to protect my life from the attacks of the enemy and to protect myself from everything else that's going around me. And you're going to need this in your life. Like, you're going to need this for your family, for your friends, for your relationships. Like, you're going to need this in this world where I can take up a shield of faith to make sure that my life is protected. Right? Write this down if you're taking notes. This is so good. Because faith, how many know, is a protective barrier between us and the attacks of Satan. That's what faith does. It's like this barrier that protects you from the attacks of the enemy. That's what it does. When you feel attacked, this is where you implement faith in your life, and it will shield you. It will protect you. And I would say to you this morning, if this is the case, if this is a reality, that faith is that barrier, protects you, then we need to know that there are some keys that you need in your life, and you need to know about faith. Because there will be moments when you have to take up the shield of faith. So let me give it to you quickly this morning. First key is we need to understand to activate this shield in our life is that faith must be received. It must be received. Now, I say that because it's not our default to have faith in our life, because most of us, you know what our default is in life when attacks come our way? Our default is doubt. Like, man, I'm going through this tough time. Did God really say that? Maybe that's not really what it meant. Maybe Pastor Heath just missed it that day. Like, did God really do that? Am I really valued? Am I really usable for him? And we get this mentality that doubt comes in, and we really say this, and this is where faith goes out the door. We make this statement, is that really possible? Is it really, really possible? And when that's the case, we need faith in our life. But here's the problem when it comes to faith. To have faith in God, you have to receive faith from God. To have faith in God, you got to receive faith from God. So I want you to follow me just for a second. So we have to have faith in God, but the only way to get faith is to receive faith. Well, and that's a problem, because how do we receive faith so that we can have faith in our situations? Well, the Bible breaks it down so easily and so clearly. It tells us in Romans 10, look what it says. Faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. So this is so simple. So every time you're in an environment like this, where you are hearing the words about Christ, guess what you are? You are experiencing truth. And guess what happens when you experience truth? Faith is being deposited in your life. And when that happens, you hear God's word, it brings faith in you, so that when you face difficult situation, guess what? Faith comes out of you. And you walk in confidence, you walk in assurance, you walk in victory. But here's the problem. I want you to lean in for a second. Here's the problem. It means that you have to be very, very careful who you're listening to. Because you are prone to listen to the wrong things, the wrong shows, the wrong media, the wrong people in our lives, the wrong advice. And how many know the chatter going on in our lives leads us to frustrations, because it's not building faith in your life, it's building doubt in your life. Well, God's never going to answer my prayers. God, you know, this prayer worship thing is really not working. In fact, it leads us to this place to begin to think, I can do this better on my own. Hear me this morning, church. I want to encourage you. Don't feed the doubt. Feed your faith. Feed your faith. I wrote down, I'm just going to be real transparent with you. I believe this. When I listen to trash, I deposit doubt. When I listen to trash, I deposit doubt. All the outside sources just continually depositing doubt in your mind. So we have to protect ourselves from it because there's really good news. Here's the good news. When I listen to truth, I deposit faith. So when I'm leaning into God's word, when I'm listening to him, when I'm worshiping him, I'm just telling you, church, listen, it's depositing faith into your life that you have no clue when you're going to need it. Like, you don't think you need it. Everything is good in my life, but you have no clues, the faith that's being deposited in your life, when you're going to need to make that withdrawal. So when you're driving into work, can I just encourage you, turn off talk radio. Turn it off. Like, turn off all the other steam. I mean, who cares what's happening in politics? Who cares all the bad news of today? When you're in that car, when you're at home, when you're on your phone, how about turn on some worship music? Man, how about turning on the Bible app and letting some beautiful English voice read it to you, right? Why not put on a sermon? And what does it do to you? It deposits faith into your life. Like, when you listen to that message, you're going to be encouraged. When you're listening to that Bible reading plan, it encourages you. You put those things on in your heart. Let those words be spoken over your life. Why? Because whether you know it or not, faith is being deposited into your life. So you have to receive faith. It's why we have to make it a point to listen to truth. That's why every single Sunday it's important that you come to church, that you're here, because it's being deposited in your life. This starting Wednesday night, in just a few weeks, we are starting a whole new Grow You track, where there is a woman's track where they're going to be studying Elijah together, the life of Elijah. There's a Grow You men's track where they're going to be walking through the book of Colossians and Philemon together. Can I encourage you, make an effort? How many? It is a midweek deposit into your life. And I know there may be some Sundays where you leave here, maybe even today, and you say, well, I didn't get anything out of service today. There's Sundays you might leave and say, well, service just wasn't for me today. And my response to you would be, you have no clue what was deposited in your life. You have no clue. You might walk out of here and say, well, that message just wasn't for me today. And I would say, maybe not today. Maybe not a month from now. But watch out 6 months from now. And wait to see how that faith that was deposited in your life will come out. If you're a parent in here, I want to encourage you, I don't care what age they are, I encourage you, keep getting your kids to church. Like, keep bringing them. Well, they don't like to come. It's boring. I have to fight to get them up in the morning. And I'm like, keep bringing them to church. Why? Because every time you get them there, it's depositing more and more truth into their lives. And I know if you have young kids, they get out of kids' church, you're like, what did you do today? Nothing. What did you learn today? Nothing. Like, we drew a picture. You know, and I'm like, I know you did more than that. I'm the pastor of this church. I know the curriculum that they're going through, right? Hear me, parents. You have no clue what's being deposited into their lives. Isaiah 55 reminds us, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. In other words, what God says, what God does, whatever God deposits does not come back void. It just doesn't. And you might not see it, right, the fruit of it right now, but you will see the fruit of it in the future, right? You have to have faith deposit in your life. But then there's another key that builds upon that. And the next key is simply this. Well, now faith must now grow. It must grow. Like, you've been given faith because you've been in environments of faith like church, but now it has to grow. And this is crucial because a lot of time we hear the message, man, you come to church, you hear this amazing message, and my next response to you is like, well, what did you do? Did you do anything about it? Did you do anything about what you have heard? Because if we don't do anything about the faith that's deposited in us, the Bible is very clear. James tells us faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, it's dead. It's dead. So it may have been deposited in your life, but guess what? Faith deposited in your life with no action, it's dying. It's dying. And you have to do something that I like to call basically exercising that faith, like getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Like something happens when we learn to exercise our faith, right? And hear me, you're gonna hear things at our church that are gonna make you uncomfortable. What's the purpose? It's to exercise your faith so that it grows a little more all the time, so it gets stronger and stronger. Like if you're taking notes, write this down. Listen, I believe this. Faith is a muscle that either declines or develops. That's what faith is. It either declines or it develops. And so many Christians, I hear this all the time. Even in our church, it just drives me up a wall when I hear this phrase. They say, I'm just not growing. Well, I'm going to go to another church because I'm just not growing. And I'm just not growing here. Or I'm just not growing. And you know what I'd like to say? I just look at him and say, you know what? You're not growing? Do something. Like do something. Do something with the faith that's deposited in you. Like when you do something, it grows in your life. Like if you've ever been on a workout regiment, workout assignment, then you know what I'm talking about. Like you have to work yourself up to each level that you go to through the workout assignment. Like I'm that guy, like I don't like that. Like, well, you know, you got to start here and they measure you. Oh, this is your starting point, and we'll keep progressively getting you to this place. And I'm like, forget all that. I want to go to the top, right? And so I try to do the top and it hurts, right? I don't make it. And so they say, no, you got to start back to the lighter side. And I remember like you go to the little dumbbells, you know what I'm talking about? That look like Coca-Cola cans. And everyone, the big dude's looking at you like, look at that little guy in the corner, right? You know? It's embarrassing. That beginning, but how many of the beginning stages, it's tough. Like, it's hard to get there. How many of you ever start a workout and that first time, you're sore. Like, right, you just can't do it. But 1 week later, the weights are a little easier. Like, Braden, come here, come here, come here, Braden, come here, come here, come here, come here. Run. Right? I'll just give a quick example, right? Right? Let's just say, remember how you remember this? Come here, come here, come here. He doesn't know I'm doing this. All right. Get on a push-up position, but on your knees. We call them girl push-ups, right? All right. Like this is how you start off. Girl push-ups. He still does these. So do a push-up. Do a push-up. And you're like, oh, first you're like, oh, that's so hard, right? And you're like, oh, we keep working out. I'm getting there. But eventually, you know, it's like, well, this gets easier and easier. Wait, no, don't do that anymore. I'll tell you when to stay there. Stay. It gets easier, no. But eventually, this that was difficult becomes easier. Imagine if Braden, he started this way, but he never progressed. Eventually, it doesn't build muscle. You don't grow. It's just like, well, it doesn't have any benefit. Stay where you are, right? And some of you will say on a practical level, well, I've tried reading the Bible 10 minutes a day. And I would say to you, well, that was a year ago. You should be at 15 minutes now. Get off your knees, right? Stretch a little bit stronger. Well, I gave a few dollars. Well, that was 10 years ago. Stretch yourself. Give a little bit more and watch how it deepens you. Then you go to a different push-up, right? Then you can do all the, keep going, get on them. So you got, right? And you're like, wow, this gets easier, it gets easier, it gets easier. Okay, stay right there. Don't stay on. All right? Let's see how long he can do this. But then it leads you to a diamond push-up. Come on, right? Because you go, I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to there, right? This dude is awesome. Then you go to one hand. Oh, yes. All right, thank you. Oh. But if he would have always stayed on his knees, right, at the girl push-up, sorry, girls, right? Modified, there we go. The PE teacher, modified. Girl push-up, you just don't grow from there. How many know the enemy doesn't know it, but the thing he's putting in your life that's trying you and challenging you is actually making you stronger. It's actually making you stronger. There are trials that some of you are going through right now, and because of what you've been through already, because of what you've experienced, and you have gotten stronger, and now you can make it through what you're currently going through. Listen, CLC, I'm just telling you, I want you to get this morning. You are stronger than you think you are. You really are. You can deal with whatever comes your way simply because you have faith in the greatness of our God. 2 Thessalonians, right, says we ought to always thank God for you, brothers and sisters. You always thank God for you, brothers and sisters, rightly so, because what? Your faith is growing more and more and more and more. Like, we have to flex those muscles of faith and allow them to strengthen you. Like, you're never going to live in comfort at Christian Life Center. And I'm so glad. Because our goal at CLC is not to make you comfortable. Our goal at this church is to make you better. Our goal at this church is to make you stronger. And that's why we challenge you to serve, because serving makes you stronger. That's why we challenge you to give. How many know giving stretches you? It's not fun all the time. That's why we challenge you to read the Bible, to get on a reading plan, because it develops you. I don't know if I mentioned this yet, but we have a thing called Grow You that's starting in a few weeks. And we have this thing on Wednesday nights. It's a girls' Bible study, a woman's Bible study, that'll be walking through Elijah together. We have a men's Bible study that's been walking through the Colossians and Philemon. And you say to yourself, well, Pastor, I'm sorry, I just can't make it. And I would just say to you, why? Like, don't you want to be strengthened? Like, I would say to you, stretch your exhaustion. Stretch your schedule. Stretch your normal self. Faith is a muscle that declines or develops. Let's stretch it, right? It's not to break you. It's not our hope. We don't want to break you. We want to build you so that you can be stronger than you were before. And so every time you serve, every time you give, every time you show up, I want you to know you are exercising those faith muscles, because you are called to grow. Listen, I'll give you this one question you can write down. When was the last time, just my thought for you, when was the last time you exercised your faith? Hear me. When was the last time you stepped out and invited someone to church? When was the last time you gave above and tested God's provision in your life? When was the last time you stepped out of your norm, you stepped out of your comfort zone and did something that God's called you to do that's so out of your norm? I know it's uncomfortable. And I would say to you, I know it sounds really mean, it's uncomfortable. And I'm like, good. Because your job is to build. Your job is to grow. So let me say this. Faith is received, right? We know that. Faith must grow. Let me give you this last one. Faith, if you do all those things, how many know faith must be activated? Like, you receive faith, you exercise faith, but it's not just so you can walk around and go, look, man, I've got my faith badge. Look how I'm just a person of faith. Everywhere I go, faith follows me. Woo, 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 right? That's not what God's intended faith to do. No, he's intended you to say, no, it's not just to exercise. It's not just to grow. But eventually, we know the enemy is going to shoot flaming arrows at your life. And they're going to look like, boom, there's doubt for your life. There's anxiety for your life. I'm going to attack your family. I'm going to put fear in your life. I'm going to bring crisis and terrible reports against you. And you can go, no, okay. It's time to take something up that's been given to me. It's time to pick this thing up, and now I'm going to activate my faith in whatever situation comes my way. So now I can be protected against the attacks of the enemy on my life because I've activated my faith. So hear me this morning. Let me tell you how we can activate faith in your life. I hope you get this morning. It's simple. Here's some simple things. I activate faith, how many know, by speaking God's word. It's a shield. I activate faith by speaking God's word. When I'm under attack, when my family's under attack, when my friends, my kids, my church, when it's under attack, I go back to God's word. Remember when Jesus was under attack in the wilderness and the enemy came after him, right? He didn't come up with some really clever one-liner. In fact, what did he say to him? He responded to the enemy this way: as it is written. As it is written. Let me tell you, basically, let me tell you what God says. Let me tell you what God does. And it's the same solution for your life today. When you're under attack, you go back to God's word. What does God say? Look what 2 Corinthians says. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. So hear me. Your church is going through some tough time, or your family's going through a really tough time. You speak God's word. You put on the shield and you say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That might not look like that right now, but we are going to hold up a shield of faith over our home, and we are going to serve the Lord. Maybe you're in here in the room today and you have kids that are far from God. It seems like there's no hope. They're not going to come back. And I would say, you know, it's okay. When the enemy attacks you with that, you just simply respond. You hold up that shield and you say, train up a child in the way that they should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is the shield that I'm believing over my kids. Maybe your marriage is falling apart. The enemy's telling you it's over. And you just say, no. I got a shield of faith. My shield of faith says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We have a shield that we hold over. I speak God's word. Maybe you've been given a bad report from the doctor. There's a shield for that. I hope you know that. There's a shield you can hold up. I love this shield. And this shield simply says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And what? By his wounds, by his stripes, we are healed. You hold on to that. It's a shield of protection. When the enemy says, no, man, this is your lot in life. You're never going to get better. This sickness, this diagnosis is always going to follow you. You just put up the shield and you say, no. The psalmist said this. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. This is the healing, the shield of faith that is available to all of your lives. And we're going to speak God's word and we're going to activate faith as a shield over our life. Like maybe you're here, you're dealing with anxiety. You're dealing with some worry. It's not very uncommon to be in 2025 and not have stress in your life. And I just put the shield and God's word and I speak it and I say, you will keep in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. You're like, look, Satan, you don't understand. You can do whatever you want. I'm at perfect peace because my mind is trusted in the Lord. It's a shield for your life. It's a shield when the attack of the enemy comes. Anytime anxiety and worry floods my mind, I like to remind myself where Jesus talked about in Matthew 6, where he says, look at the birds of the air. Like, do they not sow or reap or store away in barns? And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? How many know it's a shield against the anxiety and the worry that the enemy likes to throw at you? And you may say, well, Pastor, you know what? You don't even know what I'm going through. And I would respond, no, I don't. I don't know what you're going through, but I do understand the shield of faith. And I understand that there's a shield that says no weapon formed against you will prosper. It won't prosper. And I know you can hold that up against whatever attack comes against your life. You may say, well, Pastor Heath, the sin in my life is overwhelming. I can't seem to kick it. I can't find victory. And I'd be like, no, that's doubt. That's defeat. That's the enemy. I'd say, no. God's word says, but thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You may say, well, the temptation, Pastor, man, the temptation is way too strong. Man, I can't seem to kick all the temptation that comes at me. It's an arrow that the enemy's thrown after me time after time. And I'd say, you know, I just speak over you. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And the God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can handle. He will not be allowed to tempt you beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Listen, what are you doing? You are speaking these things out, and it raises a shield of faith. It activates a shield of faith over your life that puts protection against the enemy that he can't attack you. The other thing I do is I activate faith by surrounding myself with people of faith. There are moments when we lack faith and we need people we can call on. There are moments when you walk into this room and your faith is lacking and you can look across the room and say, man, look at that person. Look how they're worshiping God. Look how they're responding. I want that kind of faith in my life. We need people in our lives who we can say, I'm doubting, I'm struggling. Can you believe with me? Like, what I've learned about faith, church, is simply this. How many know faith is very, very contagious? Like when I get around people of faith, like I start to experience more faith in my life. Like I want that. I need that. It grows my faith. Like during the time of this writing, when Ephesians was written, it was being written at the height of the Roman Empire. And the Romans were the best at the time in warfare. And they had this one particular tactic, this one particular formation when they would go into battle that they literally called the turtle formation. And when they were under massive attack or they wanted to advance on the enemy, they would call out turtle formation and they would get their shields and they would get them together, but they would not do it alone. They would move together. In fact, it would look a lot like this picture right here. This is called the turtle formation, where they would gather together to protect each other, to look out for each other. And the enemy would attack. It would throw their arrows and it would throw their spears. But how many know it wasn't effective because they were stronger together? They formed together and they became one and they were able to move. In fact, here's another quick clip illustration. The idea of this formation, look at this. They would advance together. They would come together. And even though the arrows are coming, even though the things are being thrown at them, they're able to advance because they are one, gathered together. Can I remind you this morning that Christianity is not a solo sport? It's not a solo sport. You can't do this by yourself. You can't win. We can't win alone. We will be attacked from multiple directions in multiple ways, and we need each other. I don't know if I mentioned this yet, but we have Grow You that started in just a couple weeks. We have Grow You that started. There's a men's group, 6:30, that's going to be walking through Philemon and Colossians together. There's a women's group that's meeting. They're going to be going through the life of Elijah. It's about advancing together. We're coming together. But that is why you get involved in a group. It's why you serve. Because sometimes your faith is weak. Sometimes you need others to get your back. But I love this about this whole idea, right? This activating together. Because it's not only when we come together, not only are we protected from the enemy. But when we are coming together, guess what we do? We advance into the enemy's territory. And we take back what the enemy has stolen from us. We advance. We are moving forward as a church, and we do that together. Let me give you the last way we activate. We activate faith by keeping my eyes on Jesus. I want to close with this. In our world today, it is so, so easy to get our eyes on all the arrows, like all the things. Like we are so fixated on all the arrows that are around us. Look at the things happening to me. This, and we're looking all around, and we just can't seem to pause and stay straight. We're just constantly fixated on everything else. And what happens? You're weakened. You're defeated, right? It takes you out. And here's my declaration for some of you in the room this morning. You have spent too much time fixated on the arrows attacking your life. And I want to encourage us, let's take the focus off of that. How about we raise the shield of faith by fixing your eyes on Jesus? Fixing your eyes on Him. It's not about focusing on the problem. How many know it's about focusing on the problem solver? And the problem solver, His name is Jesus. And we focus on Him. How many know it brings protection and shield into your life? Hebrews 12 says it this way, fix your eyes, fix our eyes on Jesus. I love it. The pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. During your most difficult seasons, we fight to keep our eyes on Jesus. I'll close with this story. Many of you probably have heard this before, but experienced it, you were part of it. But I remember in 1996, the Olympics was going on, and it was the U.S. Olympics team, the gymnastic team, was in a very crucial moment where there was this girl by the name of Carrie Strug. And she was one of the best gymnasts, and she was the last person to represent the U.S. team in this event called the vault. If you know what the vault is, you run and you jump and you jump off a thing and you spin. I'd show you today, but I don't have a vault here today. But... And you had two attempts. You get two attempts, and this would determine what she does, would determine whether the U.S. won gold or whether they won silver. And if you know the story, she runs, she hits the vault, she flips, everything looks perfect. until she lands. And she lands in a wrong way. She twists her ankle. She falls. She can't even stand up. She's limping around. The score is devastating. I mean, you could hear it. If you watch it, you can remember. You could hear it even in the crowd. There was like this air that going out of the room as people are watching, depleted and demoralized, knowing that the chances of the U.S. winning gold had just went out the door. And obviously, she's obviously upset. She's sad. She's crying. She's looking at her ankles. She can barely walk. And as she's being carried by her, being past her teammates, like her teammates are saying to her, like, hey, you know, you did your best. It's okay. You good try. We understand. Like, even to the point of saying, like, there's the next 4 years. We got this in the next 4 years. And it's been documented that her coach had this moment with her. It's been written about, documented about, where it was a game changer in this whole event. He pulls her aside, her coach pulls her aside, excuse me, and he says, Carrie, what are you thinking? And her response is, well, my foot. Her response is, well, it hurts. I messed up. I didn't land right. Like, I don't know. And even to the point of saying, well, you know what? There'll be more opportunities in the future. And it's been documented. Her coach said to her, listen, he responded and said, listen, Carrie, you're gonna try this attempt again. You've got just one more shot. You've got one more shot. But this time, here's what he said to her. You're not going to think about your foot. You're not going to think about the crowd. You're not going to think about your teammates. He said this to her. I want you to keep your eyes on me. And here's what you're going to see from me. He says, I'm going to cheer you on. I'm going to be in your corner. If you keep your eyes on me, you can do this. If you know the story, she ran it. She did that second attempt. She did her final approach. She kept her eyes on the coach. She did her flip. She actually landed it perfectly. As soon as she landed, if you remember the story, she raised the foot, hopping on one foot, leg hurt. The U.S. team wins gold. She made it through it. And I so think about that because many of us have had our focus on our brokenness. We've had our focus on our doubt, on our confusion, on everything else. And here's the word of God for CLC today. Get your eyes on Jesus. And just get your eyes on the coach. Get your eyes on the author and the perfecter. Right? Get your eyes on him. Let's raise a shield of faith. God, my eyes and my hope and my belief is on you. And I just believe that we can succeed in this season. When we put on the full armor of God and we equip ourselves with the shield of faith, we can succeed in this season. Let's get our eyes off everything else. Let's focus on Jesus. Let's raise a shield over your life, over your situations. And there is an end in sight. We just have to believe, like, God, I'm gonna endure this. I'm going to hang in there. And we just have to cover each other. And we have to fix our eyes on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he will walk you through this victorious. Would you stand with me this morning as we close out? Come on. Let's take a moment. Right where you're standing, man, and take a moment to take your shield of faith, whatever that might be, and say, God, I just put this over my life. I want to believe in you. I want to trust in you. I want to put my hope in you. I want to fix my eyes on you. God, would you activate faith into my life to believe you for the impossible, to believe you for things that I've never believed from you before, that when those attacks are attacking my life, I have a shield of protection about me because I have made faith the believing point. I've made faith paramount, not my feelings, not the advice, not all the other things, but Lord, it's faith first. And when faith is first, I can withstand all the flaming arrows. Lord, we just worship you in this place. Come on, let's take a moment. Let's worship you.
Who else is worthy?
Lord, you're worthy in this place.
Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? Yes, there is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy?
For you, if you're here today, and I don't know what's coming your way, but man, we want to call turtle formation over your life today. We want to bring a shield of faith over your life. So if you're here today and you need something, maybe it's just something simple need. Maybe you're facing something. Maybe you feel like the flames of the enemy's arrows are on your life. I want to encourage you, maybe where you're sitting today, just take an imaginary posture of holding up that shield of faith over your life. We want to pray for you right now, Lord. We call turtle formation. We cover this place with faith. Lord, we cover this place together with faith. For those in this room today who just are going through a difficult season, Lord, we stand before them and we bring the shield of faith over their lives. And there's those in here who just have needs. They're just facing a simple need, financial need, emotional need, physical needs. God, whatever it may be, we bring out together and we bring that shield of faith over their lives. Lord, we pray against doubt in this room. That doubt would be erased, feelings would be erased, and faith would be the driving force. That shield over our lives that would protect us and watch over us, that we can walk out of this place with the full armor of God on, to say, I'm ready to withstand whatever comes my way. My faith will not be shaken. So I pray that over people today, Lord, those that are walking through the most difficult seasons that we don't even know about, that God, you would protect them, encourage them, and strengthen them. The last prayer I want to pray today, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, but you're in the room today, and it's faith from God. Faith starts for you by saying, I just need to live for God. I need to give him my life. Putting up the faith, taking the arms and putting that faith on my life simply starts by saying, God, here is my life. I want to live for you. I want to honor you. I want to give you my heart. And we're not here to embarrass you right where you're sitting, right where you are, heads bowed, eyes closed. But if you're in this room today and you say, listen, the shield of faith begins by saying, God, here's my life. I give it to you. If that's you this morning, I'm going to just put your hand up, put it down. I just wonder who I'm praying for. One person.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast.
This is your opportunity.
Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
Right now, we come before you and we put the shield of faith over lives. If you're in this room and it begins with you by saying, God, here's my life, all you have to do right where you're sitting, say, God, here's my heart, here's my life. I want to live for you. I want to honor you. I want to walk with you. I want to serve you in all my ways. I take up the shield of faith. And if that's your prayer today, your life can be changed. Your life can be transformed. So finally, Lord, I just pray blessings upon your people. God, that we would walk out of this place, God, clothed, putting on, taking up all that you have for us, Lord. That we could reach our community, we could reach our world, that we can be a light to those around you. Finally, Lord, I pray protection over your people. The arrows that are coming our ways, Lord, things that maybe we're not experiencing it now, but Lord, we will. So whatever comes our way, God, I pray that protection over your people. May you go before them, provide for us, and bless us. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, come on. Amen. Well, let's give up to the Lord today. Amen. Amen. Listen, we have a prayer corner over here. We have some people that are going to love to pray with you. In a room this size, there are people walking through seasons, walking through difficulties, or people that just need prayer, it's a discreet time where you can just go over to this corner, ask one of these wonderful people to pray with you. They'd be happy to just take a moment and lay hands on you and pray with you. If not, I would encourage you to come back Wednesday night. It's going to be an awesome worship night. Sunday, we're going to be continuing our discussion, the helmet, right? A helmet of salvation. It's going to be awesome. We love you, man. Go out, proclaim Jesus, and carry your shield with you wherever you go. God bless you, and have a great week.